What a joy it is this morning just to be sharing with you as God's family. And you are such a beautiful family. Hi, Lance. I just saw him for a moment. Hi, Sue. Yeah, you are such a beautiful family. I need to tell you that. My heart is so full this morning. Just watching how Jesus has molded you and grown you. I was watching Rian. Where's Rian? Just watching Rian worship here, his hands up, just worshiping the Lord. And it just so blessed my heart, Rian. I don't know if you say, blessed my heart to see you worship. And saw Devon just kneeling here before the Lord. And as my eyes went across the congregation this morning, I was just so impacted by the journey that I've witnessed over the last few years, how you have grown more into the likeness and the image of Jesus. And so it really blessed my heart. So, my last three days have been a little bit rough. So I'm going to ask you to extend some grace to me this morning. I was at Elders on Thursday morning, and when I got back about 1 o'clock, ek voel of 'n leeu in my keel gat afgespring het. Ek was aan die brand vir die verkeerde redes. It's funny how, you know, 3 weeks ago, I really felt the Lord wanted me to share a message. And I just thought, jeez, I haven't been ill. I turned to Therese. I said, jeez, Liffy, when you last was sick, we try to work it out. And it must have been last year sometime, you know. So for the last year, I haven't felt anything. And then just before I preach, of course, get this package dropped at my door. Man. But I want you to know I've been pushing it back. I said, I don't want, that's not for me. I also had to help my daughter move yesterday. She had a plan and I was her plan. A man's got to do what a man's got to do. Am I right? Whether you are sick or not sick. Thankfully, I'm married to Tigglesworth. If you know who Smith Wigglesworth is, then you understand Teresa. I call her Tigglesworth. Regtig waar nie lekker nie en ek brand en ek is siek. Ek kyk so oor in die stoel en daar sit my vroutjie en sy kyk en sy gooi so vingertjie op vir my. She says, "Lovey, you know what that means." I said, "I know, I get one day." She says, "That's right. You get one day." And she then walked over to me, laid hands on me, prayed down the fire of heaven. So she gave the devil an uppercut. And next minute, a voice message came. It was from Mo, and he was praying down fire from heaven. I was like being hit left and right. And thankfully, it's beautiful to be part of a family that loves Jesus and stands with you even when you're not well. So before I start, I'm a person, I enjoy humor, and I when I'm not feeling well, I have to laugh. And so I just want to tell you a quick little story. So little Johnny was in the congregation, and there was a vierige prediker, a real fiery pastor, and he was preaching on how the Lord has made us from dust, and that to dust we will return, and he was emphasizing, just remember that one day you will die, and to dust you will return, and Johnny was really listening to this quite intently, and so after the meeting, he walked up to the pastor with quite a concerned look on his face. And he says, "Pastor, you need to come home with me." And the pastor said, but why, Johnny?" He says, "Pastor, you don't understand." He said, "I looked under my bed. There's so much dust." He says, "Either someone's coming or someone's going." But that was little Johnny. And that made me laugh this week, you know. I thought it was quite funny. But this morning, I really want to preach from a deep conviction that I believe the Lord has for us this morning. And you are a beautiful family, and you are increasingly becoming more and more beautiful as Jesus works in your life. And the Lord spoke to me, sorry, let's just get a quick sip. About 3 weeks ago, I felt the Lord highlight this, the family that God wants. The family that God wants. And I think partially we are there I think in part, there are glimpses of this that we see. But I believe the Lord wants to do a deeper work in us this morning. And we're going to look a lot at Scripture this morning. And I don't know if it is like this for you, but it is for me. I love God's Word. For me, when I see Scripture, I see Jesus. And when people say to me, I can't hear God's voice, then I say, this is not difficult. Just open up Scripture and read. And instantly, Jesus will be talking to you. But I want to draw a distinction this morning between two things. And I want to draw the distinction between the works of Jesus and the words of Jesus. And we are often drawn to the works of Jesus, the Great Commission, in the way that we share our faith and pray for the sick. And this is good. But this morning, in looking at family, I want us to look at the words of Jesus. Because it's the words of Jesus that show His characters. And how we reflect the person of Jesus in us is through the words of Jesus. And who we are and what our character is much more important than what we do. And how we function and act as a saint in the life of this church is so important because it's a window for others that are lost, that are looking in. We have a lot of people that come and visit us, many visitors. I'm even sure tomorrow, I saw that lady there just visiting. Nice to have you visiting. That's your mom, am I right? Yeah, lovely, lovely to have you with us. Lovely to have you with us. People come and look into us. And who we reflect and who we are as a family is extremely important. And I want to remind you this morning that we are called to belong. Our values, one of our values is belonging. And you are called to belong to a family. You are called to a sense of belonging in a household of faith. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19, it says, "Then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints. And you are members. You are members of the household of God. You are members of the family of God." Do you realize that this morning? We don't just go to church. We are part of something. We belong to the household of faith, to the household of God. Then the scripture in John chapter 1, in John's gospel, it's so powerful. I always quote the 14th verse. It's such an important scripture to me, but I want to read 12 and 13 this morning. It says, To all of you who did receive Him, who received Him this morning, you all received Him, who believed in His name, He gave the right to become children of God, who were not born of blood or of the flesh, but of the will of God. So while you were born of blood and of the flesh, there's a rebirth, a new birth, which is the being born again, and you have been born of the will of God. You have been born again by the will of God. Is that not profound? There would have been a second birth in your life, and that would be when you were born again by the will of God. And in this family that you belong to, I want to touch on each and every one of you this morning, and that I want to tell you that there's a call that God calls you to. Fathers, in this household of faith, you need to know how to love your children. Fathers, you need to know how to love your children. Husbands, if you're a husband, put up your hand. Okay, for those of you who want to be a husband, not yet, Joel, you're too young. Husbands, you are to know how to love your wives. Rina, is he doing okay? Aitsa, jy's aan die brand, Lawrence. Rina says so, né? Wives, you need to know how to submit and love your own husbands. Mothers, die moedertjies in die gemeente, né? Tannie Joyce, dis jy, né? You need to know how to rear your children in this house. Old women, you need to know how to teach the younger ones. And older men, you need to know how to be father figures in this house. You cannot just be dad to your daughter and your son. You need to be dad to many. You need to give of yourself to many as a father in this house. This is the family that God wants. And I want to say, children, Tim, ne, dis jy, Joel, jylle, ne, you are to honor and to obey your parents. This is what it looks like. This is the family that God wants, is that we are to be this kind of people. And I want to say, this doesn't come automatically. These are things that you need to learn so that you may reflect Jesus well and bring glory to God. I want to say this morning that worship is far more than the songs we sing, even though the worship this morning was so beautiful. Worship is the way we live our lives. Worship is the way we live our lives that brings glory to the Father. Did you know that? We are not just churchgoers. Richard, no. We are not just churchgoers, people. In this church family, that's each and every one of you, you are a participant. You encourage one another. You support one another in your prayers and in the way you interact with each other. And so this morning, we're going to put ourselves a little bit to the test. I'm going to be sharing a number of scriptures quickly. And I'm going to ask us to examine ourselves this morning, how we're doing as a family. Ek al klaar vir julle sê, julle is beautiful mense, né? So don't take it too much as a heaven, because you really are a beautiful people. But we need to continually test ourselves. In 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5, it says this. It says, examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Or do you not realize this about yourselves, that Jesus Christ is in you? Come, let's say that Jesus Christ is in me. Unless, indeed, you fail to meet the test. The test of faith. The test to see if Christ is in you is evidenced by some of the following things. Are you a kind people? Are you a loving family? Are you sincere? Are you a house full of faith? Are you a believing people, in other words? Do you believe? Are you a praying people? A caring people? When you see those that are lonely around you, do you invite them into your circle? Make the circle bigger. You know, loneliness is an epidemic in our society. And there are people that can be in a crowd and be lonely. Do you look out for them? So it's like, altyd vir my lammie sê, are you aware? Ne? Are you aware of those that need to be drawn in and loved? We need to be a joyful people. And we need to be a people full of the Holy Spirit. I want to remind you that what you get saved into, in other words, this family, is more important than what you get saved out of this morning. And we're going to look at Scripture to see how we are to live and to interact with one another. But first, for that to be possible, we need the person of the Holy Spirit. Ne? We cannot live the words of Jesus if we are not people that are possessed of the Holy Spirit. A people that Jesus has every part of. Nee? En om my te help met dit, nee, gaan ek my liefste lammie oproep. My skat, wil jy nie gou kom nie? Because the other night at community, Therese was sharing around the person of the Holy Spirit, and it so blessed my heart. And I thought, if I'm not doing that great this morning, I'm going to let the fireball loose. You know what I'm saying? But Lovey, if you can just share what you shared at community, because that had my radar, my heart aangeraak. And I know it's something the Lord's doing in your heart. So can you share that for a moment? Thanks, sweets.
Good morning. So I think when we fasted that week, the Lord reminded me in a devotional that I'm reading of Andrew Murray about the Holy Spirit. And I got quiet, and it says, do you acknowledge the Holy Spirit in you? And that we need to cultivate a quiet assurance to know that we are a temple of the Holy Spirit. And that assurance, that acknowledgement of the Holy Spirit indwells within us. That the Holy Spirit is living inside of you. We are the home of the Holy Spirit. And it's not just a feeling or the thought of the Holy Spirit is in me, but it's that by faith, with thanksgiving, that you acknowledge that the Holy Spirit is within me, within you. And then you ask God to grant you the power of the Holy Spirit to work in you, to live through you, to guide and lead you in the will of God. And to be a life fully possessed by the Holy Spirit. Then it's no longer I who lives, but Christ that lives in you and through you. And it's not by power, not by might, but by the Spirit. And as we have the assurance that the Holy Spirit is in us, He will give us the divine strength we need to do His will. So yeah, that will be my encouragement, if that helps, that we need the Holy Spirit daily, daily, and that we can have the confidence to ask Him to grant us the power of the Holy Spirit in us to do the will of God.
Thanks, sweetheart. So I am the witness of Teresa's life. I live with her. She's my wife. And yeah, it's so beautiful to see her dependence on the Holy Spirit in her daily walk with the Lord Jesus and just in the way she lives our faith out to the Lord. I want to take us to 1 Timothy for a moment, and I want to read a scripture to you out of the third chapter in verse 14. It says, Timothy writing, I hope to come to see you soon, but I'm writing these things so that if I delay, you may know how one ought to behave in the household of God, which is the church of the living God, a pillar and a buttress of the truth. That's you. You are the church of the living God. As we sang this morning, you are those that are washed in the blood of Jesus and are redeemed. You are the children and the church of the living God. And in this church, we get to live the words of Jesus. We get to live it. And one of the first things we get to live in this morning, and that I want to highlight just for a moment, and there's a few I'm going to highlight quickly, because as I started to study this and look and speak to the Holy Spirit about this, I was overwhelmed by the amount of scripture that talks to our behavior, by the amount of scripture that leads us and guides us in truth. There was just so much. I think I've cut out at least 20 scriptures and left maybe 30 in, But there was just so much that talked to how we need to behave. And the first one, which is simple, we often talk about it, is we need to forgive one another. In Colossians chapter 3, it says, bear with each other and forgive one another. If anyone has a grievance against each other, you are called to forgive one another. You are called to provide for one another. In Romans chapter 12, verse 13, he says, contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. So you are called to provide for one another. You are called to treat one another well. And if you treat one another well, then your love will be genuine. If you treat one another well, your love will be genuine. In Romans chapter 12, verse 9, it says, let your love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. We are to outdo one another in showing one another honor. When you see your brother and you see your sister, is there an honor in your heart towards them that says, I want to honor you as a blood-washed, bought believer that has been redeemed? You, I want to honor in my life, in my actions towards you. You are to bear with one another in love. And you are to be eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit. Dis pragtig, né? In Colossians chapter 5, it says, for you were called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another. Are you serving one another? Are we all serving one another? Do we serve? Do we put the interests of each other ahead of our own and serve one another in love? This is the family that God wants. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, we read verse 12, and I love the scripture because it's not just a matter of, hey, Rich, I love you. You're going to see now. Or Mark, I love you. It says, for you were called, Thessalonians 3, and may the Lord make you increase, may the Lord make you increase and abound in your love for one another and for all as we do for you. Can you see this is an ever-increasing love? So I came here 6 years ago. And if you're still stuck in that place of, I love you, Derek. But that's where it kind of, you know, fizzled out, you know, Julie. I want to call you to something. To an ever-increasing, abounding love towards my life. Tani Joyce, can you do? An ever-increasing, abounding love to my life. But you love me so well. Net vir jou sê, ek kry altyd 'n drukkie en 'n groet en vandag was net 'n vispamp, né, maar. But there needs to be an ever-increasing, abounding love for one another. That's a different standard, am I right? We are called to this ever-increasing love, an ever-increasing, abounding love to each other. In Peter chapter 1 Peter 4 it says, above all, keep loving one another earnestly. Keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. I know Mo always refers to me. Well, now I've got a new title, the Apostle of Love. I did get a crown, eh? Hierdie week, maar it was a tandkroon, ek sê maar net. My wife says, I finally got my crown. And I wasn't going to throw it before the Lord, Lance, because then I'm going to have a hole in my tooth, you know. Maar ek het 'n kroon gekry vandag, hierdie week, Woensdag, toe sit hulle 'n kroontjie op my tand. So I have a crown, I'm just saying. But we are called to comfort one another. You know, there are people amongst us that are going through hard things. Do you know that? Difficult situations, and we are called to comfort one another. 2 Corinthians 13, and finally, brothers, rejoice, aim for restoration, comfort one another, agree with one another, live in peace with each other. You need to put up with one another in Ephesians chapter 4, with all humility and gentleness. You need to be kind to one another in Ephesians chapter 4, and tender-hearted. Nou, as ek dink aan tender-hearted, nee, dan dink ek 'n bietjie aan Winnie the Pooh. Ken jy vir Winnie the Pooh, nee? Met sy ballonnetjies, be kind, nee? And like, Bronwyn's tender-hearted. Jy het die prachtigste hartjie, mens. You are soft as, I don't know, cuddles. The golden retriever. But Bronwyn's got such a tenderness about her, such a tender heart. Dit is my lekker om, nou dat ek ouer raak, en soos julle gehoor, ek het verjaar, nee? I've done with 59 years, I'm living in the 60th, hey, hallelujah, mou. Ek sê vir jou, hierdie laaste stukkie, nee, gaan meer aan die brand wees, ons vertrou vir dit, nee? But be tender-hearted, nee? Be tender-hearted to one another. Moet jy moeilik met mekaar raak, nie? If someone sees your little scripture slightly differently, asseblief, mensies, be tender-hearted. Extend grace to one another. Nee? Encourage one another. Submit to one another. Motivate one another. You can come to me afterwards. I have scriptures for all of them. Dis sien net my lekker gedagtekies. All scriptures. Motivate one another. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24. Let us consider how do we stir one another up towards love. I have to stir you. Ek moet, as jy poikie kos maak, wat jy reik groot leep, ek moet daar onder indruk en hy vleis en aardappels daar uit. I need to stir you to love one another. This is how the world will know that we are disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ by the love that we have for one another. I get worried when people come in here and leave, because who doesn't want to be loved? Surely, if we are a people that are loving one another, tender-hearted towards each other, kind, supportive and motivated by one another, people will just want to stay. They wouldn't want to go anywhere else. Am I right? So, amen, Derek. Thank you. Love you. I knew you would say amen. Ek gaan daai milkshake vir jou koop hierdie week. Be humble towards one another. There are a couple of don'ts. Don't fight. Don't provoke. Don't lie. Don't grumble. Don't speak evil. I have scriptures for those too. But so how are we doing? How are we doing this morning when you hear this ever-increasing love that God calls you? Do you belong to a family that there is an ever increasing love? Adrian, from when you've come into this congregation and I've watched you, there's just like an ever-increasing love that I had towards your life. I watch how you grow from when you were baptized, how you lead your family, your little boys that are involved. Man, it blesses my heart. I love you more than I did. I love you more today. There's an ever-increasing love towards my life, towards your life, and towards mine. I want to ask us, do we go to church? Or am I part of a church that lives to reflect Jesus well? Are we just churchgoers? Or are we a church that reflects Jesus well? And I started off by encouraging you and saying you are a beautiful people. And you are. You are a beautiful people. I want to say that you cannot be part of this family that God wants if you haven't been born into this family. In other words, you need to be spiritually, you need to be born again. And we have a lot of baptisms lately, and I'm going to be ending on this. You know, we're having a lot of baptisms lately. And the other day, I was sitting with a gentleman in my lounge, and he'd come to me in a very difficult situation. And I started to talk to him about believing, repenting, and being baptized. And I said this to him. I said, you know, when you are baptized, firstly, you need to come to saving faith. You need to come to a space where you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that He died on a cross for you and rose the third day. You have to come to a place of believing. And then you've got to come to a place of repentance where you realize that it is my sin and your sin that hung Jesus on the cross. Your sin partially nailed Christ to the cross. He who knew no sin became sin so that you might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And you know, when we go into the waters and we are baptized, we are put down under the water, it's symbolic of that your life is being buried. Your old life, who you were, what you were, is being buried. And you are raised to newness of life. You are raised up. It's Galatians 2:20 where Paul said, it's no longer I that live, but it's now Christ that lives in me. So when you are baptized, when you go under the water, do you realize that you are burying your old life? You no longer have the latitude to live your life the way you want to live it. Because you now come up out of the waters and you are now walking. You have repented, you've turned, and you're walking a life that I've been preaching about this morning. You need to die to yourself. And some of you allow your old self, your old man to come back. I want to say, put it down. Bury it. And let Jesus come and live in your life. You are called as the family of God to belong to a family of God where your life that you live now reflects Christ. You walk out of that watery grave. You get out, and I now walk, and I put my sin behind me. I turn, I repent, and I now walk my life out before the Lord. We are called to this. And in sharing with this guy, what is so interesting to me, I started to talk to him about this, and then I started to talk about his life. And at one stage, he took his hands like this, and he put it over his head, and he covered his face. Oh, it hit me so hard. And he said this to me. He said, I've been living a lie. I've never heard it spoken of this way. I've been living my own life. I haven't treated my wife well. I haven't led my children well. I haven't been the one that has walked out this watery grave. I got out of that watery grave and I just carried on in my life. And he just cried. You see him cry out to the Lord, oh God, help me. Help me to live this life. And it was at this point, and I'm going to be landing on this. It was at this point that I realized that we often have prodigals amongst us. And I want to read a portion of Scripture. It's quite a hectic portion of Scripture to land on. But I felt in the Lord as I shared this with this guy. I felt in the Lord. I said, Lord, we are called as a family to be people that love and reflect Jesus well. When we come out of that watery grave and we walk forward, we have a responsibility to live a life full of the Holy Spirit. Full of the power of the Holy Spirit. In Hebrews chapter 10, anyone who has set aside the law of Moses dies without mercy on the evidence of two or three witnesses. How much more worse punishment do you think will be deserved by the one who has trampled underfoot the Son of God and angered the Spirit of grace? The Lord will judge His people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. And as I was sharing this with this young man, I realized something. How do we trample the Son of God underfoot? And I realized this. I realized that Scripture, Jesus, and Scripture, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. Jesus and His Word are one. And every time we start to live outside of love one another, forgive one another, be kind to one another, when we start to live outside of this, we start to trample Jesus underfoot. We ignore Holy Scripture. We don't live a life full of the Holy Spirit and given to a life of love, an ever-increasing, an ever-abounding love to one another's life. And this young man cried out and said, "Lord, help me." And it was so beautiful to see how his life, he went away and I met up with him a while later. And I could just see the conviction of the Holy Spirit and said, "Lord, I need to live this life. I need to live this life. I cannot ignore Scripture. I need to live Scripture. I need to read and study Scripture, and I need to live it." And I pray, my prayer this morning is some of you, that you don't just carry on your life the way you want to carry it on. That you don't just live your way you want to live. There is coming a reckoning. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. It's a fearful thing. And I'm going to end this morning because I feel, when the Lord spoke to me about this 3 weeks ago, and He said, "Derek, I want you to preach. I want you to show them the family that I want. I want you through Scripture to show them the importance of what you say, how you live it out." And I must say, I started off by encouraging you and saying, "You are a beautiful people. I see so much of it. But I want to encourage you to the more. I want to encourage you to an ever-increasing, an abounding love towards one another. To a place that you're so full of the Holy Spirit and so full of God, that when people come into our midst, that they say, there is a loving people. There is a beautiful people. There is a people that love Jesus with all their hearts." Amen. Amen.